What's up, everybody? Today's episode of Chicken Dinner brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming and the champions of the world. And we've got a deal for you for a limited time. It's the new fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. How many of you have nicked or scratched or clipped or made yourself uncomfortable below the waist? Using the wrong trimmer is the wrong way to go about it, and Manscaped has you covered. We got a promo code for you, B-A-W-K. That's Bawk. Bawk, 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 Bawk. Go to manscaped.com, pop in that code, and you can get 20% off plus free shipping. It's so simple. You wake up, you start brushing your teeth, and before you get in the shower, it takes 90 seconds. You go down, you buzz it through, zip, zap, it's done. So smooth. Get in the shower and get on with your day. But it's important to make the me time the best time and enhance your confidence below the waist. 20% off, free shipping. Use the code BAWK at manscaped.com.
You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
You're on riverboat gambling trips.
You're gonna die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Thursday, July 29th, 2021. Follow on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP, and smash the button so you get this mother clucker once it goes live. We will talk to Jeff Schwartz, SiriusXM and Fox Sports later on in the show. Jeff's got some props he likes, some season-long NFL props, including a couple marquee players. We'll talk about the best offensive lines in the league and some lines that might make you money. Also, the rich getting richer in the NFL. If you look back at the championship weekend, Kansas City, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Green Bay, that might be a repeat in 2021-22. It honestly might be. So we'll talk to Jeff coming up in a little bit. Did anybody bet Iran the other night? I was extremely cautious about this, and I had many people that were texting and tweeting and emailing, hey, psst, do you like Iran? Like, no, I don't. The Americans just lost their sixth Olympic game all time. They feel the pressure. The walls are closing in, and now the critics come from every angle and talk about how soft they are, how their players aren't good enough. It's not the dream team. It's not the redeem team. All they heard about for days was about the loss to France and how American basketball ain't what it used to be. Now, there may be some truth to all that, but Iran was completely outmatched. And that market, one book opened 42.5, another opened 43, and there was some money on Iran down to 40, USA minus 40. It wasn't even close. At no point did you feel good about having Iran plus 40. Maybe, when they scored the first basket to go up 2-0. You're like, all right, let's go! And then the Americans scored, what, 60 points in the first half? At one point, wasn't that game 70-24? It was never close. Iran was a dead dog. And then you're rooting for Iran against your country, likely, assuming you're from the United States. Talk about a pickle there. 120-66, a 54-point win for the Americans. And now they're laying another big number on Saturday. And I'm a little surprised the number is this low, but I think that's more respect for the Czech Republic. I saw 23.5, 24. Open, I believe, was 25. I'm pulling up the odds screen now. But this is another game where the red, white, and blue should win easily. I'm, again, in no rush to lay 23, 24, whatever. Total in the game, 183. The Czechs beat Iran by 8. The Americans beat Iran by 54. Something doesn't compute. I'm telling you right now, I am not taking the points with the Czechs. That will not happen. And some books have bumped up the USA odds a little bit. Some books went from minus 225, minus 250. Others went from 250 to 275. That was a major flex. But Iran is one of the worst teams you'll see. Barely any talent. It was like seniors in high school playing freshmen. That's a pretty good equivalent, I would say. Americans will win the gold. Do I like it more than I did after playing Iran? No, because nothing really changed. You're supposed to win as a 40-point favorite. Whether you win by 40 or 50 or 60, you're supposed to win that game. My concerns are with the teams that are really good and that have played together for a long period of time. Australia, Spain, France. Those teams will still give the Americans trouble. So nothing has really shifted in my mind. You're supposed to beat Iran by a million points, and they did. And if they win by 30 against the Czechs, nothing will change. This is supposed to happen. They're supposed to beat these teams. But I know people that were going down with the Iran chip, and then they're like, do you like Iran plus 50? No! Log out of your account, maniac. We got three NBA draft bets. That's it. We're going to roll with these three, and I want to sweep. We want to sweep. We want to sweep. Duarte over man, which is no longer bettable. We got minus 145. You know the drill on that. Dayron Sharp under 33.5. Alperen Sengun under 12.5. Those are the three. That's it. These are the tightest lines in the world, by the way, day of the draft. And if you're seeing somebody touting NFL draft bets, they got five bets on draft day, I'd be careful. These are about as tight as they get as far as lines. It's the equivalent of people that bet the NFL that Sunday and don't take advantage of better numbers early in the week. A lot of people are grabbing good numbers on Monday and Tuesday, making positions on Wednesday and Thursday. The public bets NFL on Sunday. The Sharps will bet the right number on Sunday, but they probably got a better number the other way earlier in the week. So many people wait 30 minutes before the NFL slate to go, hey, who do you like? What's your lock today? And then they'll tell you, well, they like, let's give an example, the Dolphins plus 4.5. Oh, I love the Dolphins plus 4.5. It was 6.5 5 days ago. You got to take the right team at the right price. And it's the same with the NBA draft and NFL draft. These markets are available weeks out. And that's when I strike, and that's when Mike Helfgott does all his work. So I'm very happy with our positions, and there's nothing to really add. Sharp's number has gone from 33.5 to 28.5 at DraftKings. Sengun, we did miss 13.5, but the key number there was 12 because the Spurs picked 12th. And Pop is not going to let Sengun go past 12. Most markets are now 11.5. I did see a global book had 10.5, one shop. I think he's going 10 or 12. Some think he can go 8. But of those three guys, I'm feeling really good about our three. And the thesis is simple. You've got to strike early in these draft markets. You've got to get ahead of the curve. NFL, NBA drafts. People that wait till the night of the draft or hours before the draft have a much, much tougher task to beat the market. Some of these positions, I mean, Duarte moved from 21.5 to 14.5. Sharp has moved five positions. Sengun has moved three positions in some shops. Franz Wagner was 10.5. Now I see 7.5 bet MGM. And there's some of you that are going to look at that and go, I like Wagner under 7.5. Well, what happens when he goes 8, 9, or 10? If anything, I would argue Wagner is a good bet over 7.5, but now they're going to juice you to death on the over. So just be careful with draft day activity. These lines are the toughest to beat, and you got to understand that. I'm trying to understand what's going on with the Patriots quarterback situation. A day after the NFL draft, Belichick said Cam Newton is our quarterback. 2 days ago, though, he said it's a clean slate between Cam and the rookie, Mac Jones. So naturally, I go to the extreme and I start looking at the offensive rookie of the year markets. And I'm looking at Mac Jones. Now, hold on, pump the brakes. Before you put words in my mouth and start telling people, Sam says Mac Jones is better than Trevor Lawrence. That's not what I'm saying. You just think about what the number is and where it could go. Let's take the pool over at FanDuel. We'll take one book specifically. Trevor Lawrence is plus 270 to be the offensive rookie of the year. Justin Fields plus 550. Zach Wilson 7-1. Trey Lance plus 750. Mac Jones 10-1. Okay, so Jones has the fifth best odds at FanDuel. And at most places, really. He's fifth on the board. But those prices are clearly predicated on it being Cam Newton's job in week number one. Let's go a month out. It's late August, and Belichick says, Mac Jones is our starter. What does that number go to? It's not 10-1 anymore, because now Jones has a better chance than Fields and Lance, who are not going to start. Fields is not starting. Matt Nagy's already said Andy Dalton is the quarterback. For how long, we don't know. Zach Wilson's going to start for the Jets. Lance likely doesn't start because they've got Jimmy Garoppolo for now. If Jones is the guy, though, you've got to think that number goes from 10-1 to 6 or 7-1. It has to if he wins the job. And I would argue that Jones has a much better offensive line than Lawrence, better weapons, and a system that really fits his skills. Plus, he's got Belichick and Josh McDaniels. I've definitely made worse bets, that's for sure. And if you do this, you know, shop around. You know, some books have Jones at 8-1. Another has 9. Most books have 10. BetMGM has 12-1. Am I saying that Mac Jones is going to win the award? No. Am I saying that this number might not be available in a month? Yes. That's the conversation. And these are the things that I think about. I watched a lot of Patriots games at the end of last year, and Cam Newton scares the hell out of me. On 3rd and 4, I get the heebie-jeebies thinking about Cam Newton having to scan the field and make an accurate short pass. You look at what the experts are saying, too. I mean, Dan Orlovsky has been clear that Jones gives them the best chance to win. Belichick's going to make the right decision, I would think, and trying to get inside that guy's head is impossible. I'm not going to even try to decipher what Belichick thinks. But Orlovsky says that the New England offense is going to be run-oriented first, and then secondly, they have to be great on 3rd down, and they have to be efficient on 3rd down. So you have to be able to, on 3rd and 3, make your proper checks and throw the ball to an open target or through a tight window. And Cam, I had a scout tell me he thinks Cam is better throwing from 10 to 15 to 20 yards than he is throwing 5 yards or less. That's pretty telling. Okay, maybe he throws a better deep ball than Mac, but who's going to move the chains more? They will certainly find out, and they will make the right decision. My point is simple. If Mac Jones is the guy, you ain't going to find 12-1 on him to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Those odds might get cut down to 7, 6-1. And at that point, if you got 12-1 and Mac has a very solid first month or two, you could sell that ticket, prop swap, whatever. Hedge it. Do whatever you want. But I'm curious to see how this develops. It's late July. We've got a long way to go until the Patriots face the Dolphins, and that's the number on Mac Jones. On to college football, I am definitely going to play most of these totals, if not all of them. Buffalo under 7.5. Minnesota over 6.5. Illinois over 3.5. Boston College over 7. Charlotte under 5. I'm probably going to tweet these out next week. I just want to, you know, cross a couple T's and dot a couple I's and make a couple more phone calls. Those are the 5 I like the most for regular season win totals. And I really missed the move on Toledo. I'm upset about that one. Toledo was opened up at DraftKings at 7.5. It was almost immediately bet to 8, and now you're seeing 8.5. And I don't love missing that move. It's a full win. Can they win 9? Yeah, I've got them 9-3. But my wiggle room is gone. If they go 8-4, I'm going to now lose. And so will you if you tail over 8.5. So I don't feel good about giving out a win total, especially, you know, that high. I think Toledo's ceiling is 9, maybe 10. So if their ceiling is 9, I just can't go over 8.5. Like Buffalo's floor, Buffalo could win 4 or 5 games. Minnesota can win 8 or 9. Illinois can win 5. Boston College can win 9. Charlotte could win 3. I've got wiggle room with those teams. With Toledo, Big difference between 8-4 and 9-3. That's a loser if you go over 8.5. And how about the Rockets to win the MAC at points bet? Plus 450. That is the highest in market. Plus 450. 100 makes 450. At WinBet, Toledo is the favorite to win the MAC. Plus 225. Always be shopping. And how about back to that points bet number? Points bet has Buffalo favored to win the MAC. Somebody's not paying attention. Speaking of WinBet, props to my guys, Alan Berg, Mo Pearson, Matt Lindemann. Their trading team has come up with a beauty of a bet. They're giving you three teams against three teams. I love this. UNLV, Akron, and UMass. That is one faction. What an amazing faction that is. On the other side, UConn, Kansas, Louisiana Monroe. Three against three. Which team has more wins this football season? UNLV, Akron, UMass, that combo minus a quarter, minus 125. UConn, Kansas, UL Monroe, plus 105. I did the win total math at WinBet. Akron, their total 2.5. UMass, 1.5. UNLV, 1.5. So that gives you 5.5 wins. UConn, 3. Kansas, 1.5. UL Monroe, 6. So if you just combine the underdog win totals, they have more. But obviously the juice plays into this, and that's what you have to understand. The UMass and UNLV totals are juice to the over. 1.5, 1.5. Juice to the over. The Kansas and UL Monroe totals, 1.5, 1.5, are both juice to the under. Kansas minus 180, UL Monroe under 125. So even though the total combined is higher for the underdog, the math tells you that the juice makes the difference. And I have no idea. Don't ask. You know this is probably going to come down to the final week of the season, and you'll be rooting for or against UMass when they go on the road at New Mexico State. For all the marbles, you need UMass to come through or not come through. And that right there is gambling. Last thing before we get to Jeff Schwartz. We've got some English Premier League point totals up at the Superbook. These are regular season point totals in Nevada and Colorado. Highest one on the board, Man City, 85.5. Chelsea, 75.5. Liverpool, 75.5. Man United, 74.5. Arsenal, 62.5. Tottenham, 59.5. Leicester City, 59.5. On the low end, Newcastle, 37.5. Norwich City, 35.5. Watford, 34.5. I did get a report of one sharp bettor betting the Liverpool under. He went under 75.5. There will be more to report in the coming weeks, that's for sure. I will definitely keep you all posted, but you guys know I don't bet the EPL and I don't watch it, but I know people that are very good at it. And one guy that everybody respects went under Liverpool 75.5 season points. Take that for what it's worth. Season starts on August 13th, and I imagine in the next couple weeks we will talk a little bit more about sharp wagers on the English Premier League. Oh, I lied. I have one more thing. The Joey Gallo trade has some of you Yankee bettors way too fucking excited. Come on. You think Joey Gallo is going to change everything for the Yankees? He's a career 211 hitter. That's his batting average, 211. Oh, you don't like batting average. His career on-base percentage is .336. Okay, he's got 25 homers. He's also struck out 125 times. Come on. This guy is not saving the Bronx Bombers. It would be nice if they could get Aaron Judge healthy. It would be nice if some of those guys in that lineup would hit. You know, that's a banged-up baseball team right now. And I don't know that their pitching is going to be able to climb out of the hole they're in. Wild card is a potential. I understand that. But I saw MGM, some people bet the Yankees from 13-1 to 10-1 to win the American League East. What? They're 8.5 games out of first with two teams ahead of them. Save your money. Actually, I got a better idea. Why don't you send me your money, and I'll bet it for you. Wink, wink. I'm kidding. Seriously, don't bet the Yankees to win the American League East because they got Joey Gallo. Boston, 63-40. Tampa, 60-42. Yankees, 53-47. They're six back of the Rays, 8.5 back of the Red Sox. And I think I saw this afternoon they went down 4-0 in the first inning to the Rays. So they're going to be even deeper back by the time you listen to this. No shot. Okay, World Series, you want to throw a sprinkle there, I guess. I would rather you bet World Series or pennant than bet division. You know what I'm getting at. It's harder for them to win this division than it would for them to win the pennant. If they get in, yeah, they got a shot. If they get hot at the right time, yeah, they can win a series or two. But they're not winning the American League East. I hate to break it to you, but that is not going to happen. Joining us for the first time on Chicken Dinner, he works for SiriusXM, SiriusXM NFL, and Fox Sports. We actually are teammates on some of the Fox Sports gambling content. Jeff Schwartz spent 8 years in the NFL, and now he's an analyst in many different ways, including, at times, a gambling expert. Did you ever envision yourself as a guy who broke down spreads and totals?
No, but there's a couple things about me that I'm not surprised why. I was told my entire life about my grandfather, who passed away before I was born, and how he spent a lot of time at the track, how he liked to wager. My mom had told me a story, like the one time that he won, basically, and he brought home a bunch of money, and my mom got to go get herself like she was a teenager, maybe even younger, like a nice jacket at the store, right? Like a nice coat she wanted. And so she always told me about my grandfather and just kind of the competitive nature that he had. And then for me personally, like, I've always been someone who and I know this is corny to say, but kind of bet on themselves, right? The way I did my contracts in the NFL, and the way I just bet on myself. So I've always kind of been competitive and wanted action as much as possible. And then when I played, of course, I didn't gamble on the NFL, I didn't gamble on baseball. But what we did from time to time is we did little, pools in the offensive line room for college football games, right? You pick a winner, maybe it's against the spread, maybe it's not. But again, it wasn't like I was sitting down researching, right? We would do it on Saturday morning before a game, and we just hand out a piece of paper and you just put a circle around, Oregon's favorite this week. I'm going to bet on Oregon. I'm going to bet, quote unquote, bet on Oregon. You throw $20 into a pot and someone wins, $100 every week, right? And so that's basically the extent of it. And then when I got finished playing, I just wanted action on games and I just wanted to see if I could do this. And I've always, like I said, enjoyed being competitive, enjoyed, kind of looking at the games differently. And, my first year out, I was terrible. I didn't know what I was doing. You start picking things up, you start learning. And for me, I just enjoy looking at things a little differently. Like, I've always been curious and finding myself gambling. Now I just look at football differently, look at baseball differently, I look at basketball differently. And it gives you something to root for, another way to analyze the game. And for me personally, this was my way into media, right? There was no way I was going to do the traditional route of just biding my time for 20 years and hoping to get on ESPN at some point, right? It was never going to happen. And I found gambling was the way to do it because I could talk the game and talk gambling. And that has been very helpful in my career. So I love it. I do baseball and basketball and I'll dabble sometimes in random sports. I've not bet the Olympics though. I'm pretty proud of myself. I might at some point, Sam, I haven't done it yet. Maybe some track and field. I'll throw down some track and field, at some point, but I just enjoy it, man. It gives it, it's funny. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs in a second. I think my parents were in Charlotte for a time being in July. Also, I was down with them in May during the playoffs too. And I'm seeing my dad watching games and he's like wondering why I'm rooting for random things to happen. I'm like, yeah. Because I've gambled. I just need, Dad, I need this team to lose by 7 or less points. Okay. I don't even care if they win, just 7 or less points. I need them to lose by. And it's just a fun way to do things.
I've been dabbling on a lot of things for a long time. In fact, I actually just cashed the over 2 minutes on your first response. So there's another win for your boy.
Perfect.
Right there. What is that Green Bay Packer locker room like right now after Aaron Rodgers just took the whole group on a fucking roller coaster for about 6 weeks? What is that room like and what will it look like by week one?
I think they're fine. I think they're happy he's back. I think a lot of why he came back was David Bakhtiari, you know, left out Rodgers, man. Like, we need you, right? Davante Adams, hey, Rodgers, we need you. You know, the Smith brothers, Rodgers, we need you. Like, I think these guys reach out to like, hey, man, we need you so we can win a championship this year. They're not far away from that. I mean, you look at the NFC, and we'll talk a little bit more about some of the NFC teams. Like, they're not far away from being able to host the NFC Championship game last season, and Brady threw three picks. I mean, there's a conversation to be had that Packers could have won that game. And then you play a Chiefs team with a beat-up offensive line, and you probably beat the Chiefs in that game. So they're not that far away. And I've said it from the beginning. I thought Rodgers was always coming back. I thought he played his hand way too late. He had to do this before the draft. On draft night, it's too late now, right? The value in getting it done that quickly is not going to happen. Then once the draft is over, now you're trading for next year's draft pick. And whoever gets Rodgers making the playoffs, right? So that draft pick now is in the 20s. It's not in the top 10. And there was really never a way this was happening after the draft. And I see right now, he was quoted saying this wasn't a draft day thing. I started a conversation in February. You should have made it known then he wanted out. But again, the Packers had all the leverage here. They did not need to trade him. Rodgers was never retiring. He's too vain to retire. He's not retiring. And now he's back, and everyone's really thrilled about it, I would imagine.
Yeah, and the books are now over-adjusting the adjustment that they made, because we saw some win totals on Green Bay before these retirement rumors. They were like 9, 9.5. And then when the rumors started, they moved the totals down to 7.5. And now you're looking at 10, 10.5. So now the books are trying to write money on everybody else. They're trying to write Minnesota money, Chicago money, and if they could get lucky enough, they'd love to write some Detroit money. But now this is sort of right back where we started. I think the one number, and I look at a lot of numbers for a lot of different things, I can't make sense of this number. For a guy that almost caught 20 touchdown passes last year, if he stays healthy, how does Davante Adams not go over 11 catching touchdowns at DraftKings? How is that possible?
Yeah, that seems very unlikely.
What am I missing?
What are other wide receivers set at?
Well, I mean, you're looking at the market right now, so I've got the DraftKings list up. Antonio Brown is 5.5. That's on the low end. Adam Thielen is 9. A.J. Brown, 8.5. Devontae is 11, as I said. It looks like that's one of the highest ones.
Wow. Even with we've extra game this year, too.
I don't see anybody higher, man.
I do worry sometimes when, I don't know if you feel the same way, when you're like, you think a number is so bad that you want to take the other side, but then does some of it creep into you like, maybe they know something we don't know?
I think the only thing you worry about is injury. That's the only thing that would worry me.
But I don't think you can not make a wager because a guy who's typically healthy is going to be hurt. You know what I mean? Like, we'll get to Cowboys in a second with Dak Prescott. There's a lot of wagers I like with his season. But you can't just, I think you make this wager. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt and you try to find a way to get out at some point with some other wager. But I think that you have to make that bet, because I think Rodgers is going to try to prove to everyone that he's still the guy, which we know he is. And Davante Adams wants a contract extension.
That's what I'm getting at. So it looks like at DraftKings, Adams has the highest number at 11, and the over on him is minus 115. Very attainable, not much juice. The only two guys that are close, Travis Kelce's 10, Tyreek Hill is 10.5. And I think those two guys are impossible, because either one of them could get 17, the other one could get 9. But Adams is the guy, and he caught 18 last year. It's just, that's a number I would definitely go over. You like Prescott stuff. I like Dallas as a whole.
Yes.
Because their offensive line looks like it's going to be healthy. I mean, they were out two tackles in the first, 6 weeks of the season? And, of course, Dak's leg explodes and his lower leg is just in shambles. And they got to go with Andy Dalton and Ben DiNucci. But that Dallas team at minus 110 to win the division, I get Washington's got a good D-line and they've got some playmakers. But if it comes down to Dak against Fitzmagic, it's an easy decision for me.
Yeah, so I am very big on the Cowboys this year. I think Dak's comeback player of the year number is still in plus money, which I think is a steal. I mean, even if Dak, you're not assuming he's going to get hurt again, right? He's been hurt one time in his career as a freak injury. And last season, he was playing well. Even if he's just his normal self this season, he's winning comeback player of the year. End of story. He doesn't have to be a superstar this year. Doesn't have to be elite. If he's just himself, which is a 8 to 10 quarterback, right? 8 to 10, maybe 7 to 10. He's winning comeback player of the year. That to me feels like really easy money there. As far as the Cowboys team, look at their roster as a whole. You mentioned the offensive line, right? They get Teron Smith back and healthy at left tackle. Zach Martin's back, healthy at right guard. Lyle Collins, healthy, back at right tackle. You're trying to fill the pieces at center and left guard. You should be fine there. We know they have running backs. We know that their wide receiver core might be the deepest in the NFL. Just their three guys, right? I'm not sure they're the best three, but as a unit, they might be the best unit in all of football. You have a good enough tight end, Jarwin. And look defensively, okay? Do I think they're going to be a world beater on defense? No, but they're not going to suck as bad as they did last year. It's almost impossible to do that, right?
They were on the field for 40 minutes a game.
And we often see in the NFL, too, that defense year over year is a lot more roller coaster, right? So, you know, if your defense is good one year, the next year it probably falls back a little bit. And if your defense is bad, it typically goes up the next year, right? Offense is much more stable. If you're the Chiefs, the Saints, you know, all these, you know, these offenses, the Ravens, they were highly efficient. You're highly efficient year over year. On defense, it tends to vary kind of wildly. So the Cowboys, if they're even just average on defense this year, they're going to win the division. They're going to over the win total. And I wouldn't be surprised if they contended for the NFC this year. Like I would not be surprised to see them divisional round weekend in a very close game to possibly play in the NFC Championship game.
I didn't play offensive line, but I know how important the offensive line is. And one of my favorite lines to focus on in this coming season is the one in Los Angeles with the Chargers. Big fan of Rashawn Slater.
Yes.
Big fan. I think that team is a group to watch, and that will launch that team, I think, maybe to another level. Like, I love the Chargers win total over, especially, Jeff, now that we know Aaron Rodgers isn't going to Denver. There was a lot of that. Like, oh, I don't know about the Chargers. You know, Rodgers might go to Denver. That's dead. So now the Chargers, I've even moved up more. Are there any other five-man units in the trenches that you've circled that can maybe make you some money this year?
I mean, the Colts are going to be really good in the trenches. The question is quarterback, right? Is Carson Wentz going to be the guy? I think the Chiefs, I love what they did with their offensive line, right? They added via free agency, obviously, with Orlando Brown and Joe Tooney. But you look at Creed Humphreys and Trey Smith, two rookies they drafted, they're going to get the start most likely, especially with Kyle Long on injured reserve right now, or on PUP, whatever it is. I feel like the Chiefs, a win total over, I know it's 12.5, I think, is probably a lock. I mean, you look at how they lose games, okay? They've lost two playoff games. One was the Patriots, you know, the overtime game where D4 was offsides. And the second one, his offensive line was beat up, right? And they fixed the offensive line problem. And when they lost games last year, they lost one whole game last year when it counted, because week 16 they sat everyone, week 17 they sat everyone. You know, the Raiders outscored them. It wasn't like, you know, they're going to score points and they're going to win a bunch of games. I think the Chiefs offensive line is going to be a big reason why. And they have depth there too, that you look at the Chiefs over, in my opinion, for many reasons. But one, they're just going to keep Pat Mahomes upright. And like that's a huge importance for their team. When he's healthy, they do not lose a lot of football games. You know, the Rams stay in LA. The Rams are an interesting one. I think the Rams, you know, people are higher on Stafford than I think I am, but that offensive line played really well last year. And you have to hope that they can continue to do that. And you probably feel pretty good about their chances as well. The Stafford thing is interesting, man. People love Matt Stafford. I got to see it first, man. I don't know if I trust it.
He's a great fantasy quarterback, and he's tremendous when it comes to a guy getting, you know, if I took the Lions plus 4.5 and they're down 10 and he's got the ball at midfield, he's getting in the end zone, you know,
because
the defense is going to prevent. He was one of my favorite guys to bet on as a dog, but now you need him to win big games and that division. I mean, is there a better division in football than the NFC West?
No, but I think there's some question marks on a lot of the teams, right? So the Niners, you know, you look at what they do at quarterback. So in 4 years, Shanahan has had a healthy quarterback for one season. They made the Super Bowl, right? So if Jimmy G or Trey Lance is healthy, Niners have a really good chance. They're a good roster, and they bring a lot of guys back off injury. We know that. But again, it's quarterback, right? Is Jimmy G healthy? Is he good enough? And then is that transition to Trey Lance take a couple of weeks and you lose a couple of games in the process? You know, Seattle, to me, again, offensively, what are they going to be? We saw last year they kind of lost their way. They started the year throwing a bunch. Defense was so bad that Russell Wilson tried to do too much, kind of weeks 5 through 8 when he threw a bunch of interceptions. And then they reeled him back in because they're worried he was making too many mistakes. And so what offense you get, you know, what offense you get from Seattle? They're winning their games. They always win their games. But are they good enough to do much in the playoffs? I don't think so. And the, and we talk about the Rams and the Cardinals. I am so out on Cliff Kingsbury. I think he's a terrible coach. And I can't ride with a team who has a terrible coach and offense that I don't think is very good in the NFL.
We talk about, when it comes to the NBA, the lack of parity. From, you know, 2011 to 2020, every NBA Finals had either LeBron or Steph or Durant. We saw a lot of parity this year with the Bucks and the Suns in the final. So it was a little different in the NBA, but I think when you compare the NBA playoffs that we just saw to the NFL playoffs on the way, they are total opposites. Like, give you the final four from last year. Kansas City, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Green Bay. All those teams got better. The rich got richer.
Yeah, and I was really impressed with how they did it, right? So Buffalo, you know, they targeted pass rush because they saw last year that their issue against Kansas City was they couldn't rush the passer. So they drafted two guys, the first two picks, pass rushers. You look at even in Cleveland, who I think Cleveland's the most talented roster in the NFL, but the quarterback is not as talented as Pat Mahomes or Josh Allen. So, you know, but look at them. They addressed their second. They added two pieces in free agency and one in the draft, a first round draft pick in the draft. Three new secondary players. We have got to slow down the Chiefs, right? That's our job. We got to slow them down. You look at Green Bay. They added Savage in the draft. They added a new defensive coordinator who they desperately need. They need a new scheme, and I trust that Barry, I believe it is going to be able to do a good job. And Tampa Bay returns every person. I mean, it's pretty. And they added Joe Tryon as kind of a third down pass rusher in the first round, who was a high energy guy at Washington, very long, a guy that's going to come in on a third down and give him some juice, I think. And you're right. They just got better because they knew where to target. They did their homework on their team, and they figured out, okay, this is the positions we have to go do it, and we have to do it to beat the Chiefs. I think, again, on the AFC side especially, the teams executed their plan. Whether it fell to them in the draft that way or they made it happen, they execute a plan that they devised. And I like watching teams function at a high level like that.
If I gave you $100, Jeff, right now, and said, all right, you could put this on any team to win the Super Bowl. I'll give you team and number. Chiefs are 5-1. Bucks are as high as 7-1, Bills 11 or 12, Rams 13, Niners 14, Packers you could find as high as 20-1. I think I could probably stop there, but if I said, all right, here's 100, do what you want with it, which roulette number do you want?
I'll take the Chiefs. I know it's, I mean, three straight Super Bowl appearances, obviously not done very often, but the way they lost, I know people worry about Super Bowl hangover. Well, they already went through that one year, right? They won the Super Bowl and went back to the Super Bowl. So they'll be motivated enough. But again, I go back to Pat Mahomes. How do you stop this offense? You stop this offense by attacking the offensive line. Well, they fixed the offensive line. So that's not a problem anymore. So their offense is going to be nearly unstoppable again. Unless, of course, look, injuries are always a concern. Their second wide receiver, who knows? But defensively, they have Chris Jones, they have Frank Clark, they have Honey Badger, they have young pieces in the secondary that they like a lot. They've drafted better linebacker, they're faster linebacker now. And the AFC is probably going to run through them. They're going to win 14, 15 games, have the one seed, and everyone's have to come through Kansas City to get this done. So I would lean Kansas City. I think Tampa Bay, I mean, fading Brady is stupid, but we're not actually fading him right here. But, you know, they're returning everyone. It's never been done before. I'm kind of curious to see how that is. We talk about complacency. When you return everyone and everyone is, you know, there's not a new starter on that team. It's like, I've never won before. I need to win this season. Everyone won last year. I'm kind of curious about the mindset of everyone returning. I think Tom Brady will be able to kind of guide them through. And then look, Green Bay, they're right, knocking on the door. Can they push that door through? And really that might just be defensively, just better defensively. I don't really know outside of those three teams. Sam, do you like anyone else? I can make an argument against everyone but those three teams.
I was a Saints guy forever, and I can't without Breeze.
Correct.
Chargers are a couple years away, and I mean, I'm looking for teams down the page here. I don't like Dallas's defense in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, you try and get cute, Jeff, but there's a difference between getting cute and trying to make money. Like, all right, I could give you Seattle at 25-1, but do I really think they're going to win the Super Bowl? Cleveland? No, I don't. So I'm sort of with you, and I've done that Chief thing 2 years in a row, and people are like, oh, wow, what a genius. He likes the preseason favorite. Well, if I take KC at 5-1 and they go to the AFC title game, they're probably going to be favored, and they're probably going to win, so then I've got 5-1 in my pocket on the Super Bowl.
So I'm glad you mentioned that, because, you know, one thing that I see often on social media is people going out of their way to bet big dogs in situations, right? Especially these long shot odds. They're not really dogs, but there's long shot odds on some of these prop bets, right? And I got this argument with someone about Joe Burrow the other day, the comeback player of the year. Joe Burrow's +600. You have to put some money on him. No, you don't. You absolutely do not have to put money on Joe Burrow. Like, just because you're getting 6-1, but you're getting Dak Prescott at a 2-1 essentially, probably a little bit less now. That's a far better wager, because Dak's going to win the award. You have to have all these things go wrong. Dak has to get hurt, or Dak plays healthy, but he's not good, which he's never been in his career. And the Cowboys aren't good in a bad division, even though they're most talented quarterback in the division. And then Joe Burrow's got to play well. And then his division probably has to not be good. The Bengals have to make the play. Like, all these things have to happen for Dak not to win. So why would you throw your money away on Joe Burrow because he's at long shot odds? I don't, you know, people bet, you know, Baker Mayfield to win the MVP. And they're like, seriously, they're like, they put their serious money on a wager like that. And they tell people to bet it. I'm like, what are you talking about? So you're exactly right. Just because you like the Browns or the Bills or someone, or the Titans, it doesn't mean they're good bets.
I have one final question for Jeff Schwartz from SiriusXM and Fox Sports. How much fun did you have betting on Trae Young this year in the playoffs?
So I did not really – I've not been a big prop guy. Somewhere I got to get better at. And then I started seeing you tweet about it, and we were texting about it. And I got on that train, man, and that train won us a lot of money. I mean, the one that was the best value was the leading scorer. He was getting plus money, like +275, +250. They finally caught on at the end of the playoffs. But – he was the leading scorer. If he was going to score 30 points, he was the leading scorer every night, right? So you were getting all these hits each and every night. I think he was the leading scorer in a majority of the games he played in the playoffs. It was unbelievable.
Wasn't it games 4, 5, and 6 against the Sixers? But it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't -110. It was +250 and +220 and +190. And then game 1 against Milwaukee, it was +280. They weren't paying attention. And I remember you texting me like, yeah, I'm going to go to bed at half. I'm like, no, you're not. You are not going to bed at half with this money on the line.
No, it was, that's one thing I've learned, the gambling. I've actually become more patient because, you know, once you make a wager, you can't do anything about it, right? And especially in baseball. Baseball is even worse. Like, you know, if you bet an over-under, I bet a ton of unders. I think that they're good money in baseball, even though, you know, you don't want to root against runs, you know. There might be 5 runs scored in the first inning. And if you freak out about it, it makes the next 3 hours pretty miserable if you're watching a game. You just have to you made your wager, football, right? An early touchdown, kind of, you made your wager, you thought about it, hopefully. You think you're on the right side, which we always do. Just be patient about it. So, like, going to sleep during a game that I've gambled on has gotten easier for me because I feel good. I think I did the right thing on the Trae Young bets. If he doesn't hit him, I'll be upset in the morning, but it's not going to make or break my day. I don't have to stay up to make sure I win anymore.
We'll be chopping it up this football season on Fox Sports. You can also hear him on SiriusXM on Twitter at Jeff Schwartz, GEOFF. I hope the chicken dinner shirt fits well.
It did. It's fantastic, yes.
And I will see you in Las Vegas in about a month.
Can't wait.
I'll see you, man.
Take care, buddy.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Jeff Schwartz for hopping on the show. I am in unison on the Dallas Cowboys. 3 offensive linemen, healthy, back in the fold, and a healthy Dak Prescott. That team should cook on offense. With all the talent they've got, plenty of receivers, Zeke Elliott, they're going to score a lot of points, which will make the defense better. So I agree with Jeff on that, and that's an interesting number on Dak to be the comeback player of the year. Most markets, less than 2-1, but there are some 2-1s available, so always shop around for your best props. And as you know, Jeff likes the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl, which I've done the last 2 years, because they're probably going to go to the game, and if they do, you can always hedge and make some money. We've got three in the draft, and we want a sweep. Duarte over Mann, minus 145. That's pending. So is De'Ron Sharp under 33.5. And our last bet, Alperen Sengun, under 12.5, minus 112. Coming up on Chicken Dinner next week, we are going to talk to Mike Helfgott. He's the best draft bettor I know, and he will help us recap the NBA draft and explain how he likely did it again with the chicken heads. Cash or tickets, make some money. We'll talk to you next week right here on Chicken Dinner.
My brother told me so, you'll be the greatest man alive.